Now, from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brendan Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs needs it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down. Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game.
It's Optional. Hour number two rolls on. Here on again, a gloomy Wednesday. Whatever. We still get on and get excited. Got some college basketball tonight. Had some last night. Tonight's Wednesday, so it'll be college. There'll be NBA on regular. Probably be a college football game on tonight. MAC action went to overtime last night. Kind of threw some people off that were trying to watch the Tennessee game, I was told. They played at, I think it went to, it went to overtime.
Yeah, it did. First off, because it was, you know, the game was on ESPN2, and that game, yeah, it kind of.
How did they book college football for basketball?
So they switched the game. The game was, like, on ESPN News for the longest time, and then they switched back over. So, yeah, it was kind of a little confusing at first. Yeah.
Don't they know that?
Pretty good NBA games, though, you were talking about tonight. You got Jimmy Butler makes his debut with the 76ers. They play against the Magic. They're in Orlando. He's making his debut tonight.
Womp, womp.
Womp, yeah, they'll beat the hell out of them. Pistons, Raptors, maybe not a bad game. Grizzlies, Bucks later on. So it's not bad. It's a pretty, you know, filled sports night. Knicks and the Thunder at 8.
Ooh. Okay.
Trailblazers and the Lake Show to cap it all off for the late night folks.
Yeah, I don't care
about LeBron. You don't like LeBron?
No, I do. I just don't. I'm not staying up till 1 a.m. in the morning to watch him.
It'd be a good game, Damian Lillard. Trailblazers, CJ McCollum, LeBron.
Tough for me to get the NBA without any good storylines. Storyline going on now.
It's a good storyline right now. Draymond Green is suspended for the Warriors. Conduct detrimental. Him and KD getting into it. It was pretty bad by Draymond, though, at the end of the game to go full hero when he's not the guy. Like, you can be an alpha and you can be aggressive like he is, and he's a great basketball player, but then there's also the time you do need to know your role. Like, dude, you're not the scorer. You ain't the man. Sorry.
I'm getting a lot of somebody sent me an article. Sporting News put out an article that said why you should hate Rudy, the real worst sports movie ever.
It's a horrible movie. Trey, thank you. Chase on Twitter.
No.
Rudy is a bad movie, man. Like, I'm telling you, 865-546-8200 if you'd like to call in on the McKinney team phone lines. Nobody wants to talk about Rudy.
No, that's fine. We don't have to. You know, other good game in college basketball tonight that will intrigue you, not NBA. Michigan, number 15 in the nation, plays Villanova at 6:30 on FS1. Nice little matchup.
Yeah, not bad.
Trying to find another good basketball game. There's really not. North Dakota plays Kentucky. Who cares? That's it. Damn, that's it. Really? That's all we're getting good basketball tonight? There is MAC action tonight. Buffalo plays Ohio at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. And Miami of Ohio plays Northern Illinois at 8 o'clock on ESPNU.
So not going to watch them. You know, MAC action? Like,
you only watch the end of like Buffalo, Ohio?
I mean, you're only watching MAC action if you got money on it. Let's be honest. Who's watching those games just because they like MAC matchups?
What if you need, you know, use your college football fix?
With no implications for anybody in this region. Like, yeah, you're only watching if you got money on it. A little MAC-tion, as the kids say.
Carrie Underwood's on TV tonight.
Is she?
Hosting the CMA Awards.
Yay.
Yeah, right, okay.
Carrie Underwood. She's hot.
Kentucky, there's a story coming out. Kentucky football among SEC teams firmly in sights of the Citrus Bowl. That would be different, I guess, if Kentucky went down there. They'd probably travel well. They have a big Florida base down there, either Boca Raton or any of the retirement communities. So that would probably work out. They travel well. Depends on what basketball game they have coming up. They got to beat MTSU first. And they have to beat Louisville. It should be interesting in itself, that game. Louisville's such a train wreck.
What'd you think about Penny Hardaway and his first test last night? Their team, they played. They played well. I mean, they hung in there with LSU.
It was funny. Will Wade, the LSU coach, after the game, I went back and saw this replay at like 1:30 this morning. He was saying that he had to tell his players, "Hey, look, you can't go up and get the autograph of the coach from the Memphis team. Like, that's not allowed. Like, you can't go up."
He had to tell his players that.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was kind of joking, but he had, hey, don't go get Penny Hardaway's autograph.
Yeah. Like, hey, don't get starstruck.
Right.
Because Penny's over there.
Wouldn't it be kind of, you'd be kind of starstruck if you're an opposing player and you're on Penny's out of the court?
Well, I wonder about, because if you love basketball, you're going to know the history of the game. But I wonder about those kids because, like if it was me playing, I grew up loving Penny Hardaway, one of my favorite players because of my age. But for the kids in this generation, I don't know. Here's what I'm saying. If you love basketball and you're a true lover of the game, then you would know who Penny is and it wouldn't matter. I thought that a lot of things to take away from – from them, because Tennessee's got that home and home again with them.
Yep.
Tyler Harris
looked
really good for them. 20 points last night. Tennessee, a lot of people, and I know for sure one, my guy who might call in later, Phil, the mayor of South Knoxville, really wanted Tennessee to go after Tyler Harris. He thought Tennessee should. He looked really good last night.
Transfer, right?
Is he a transfer?
Is he a freshman?
He's a freshman.
Okay, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, Tennessee was recruiting him, and it came down to him, and they were also trying to Anthony Simons.
Yeah.
Who went ahead and got drafted. So, yeah, Tyler Harris looked good, though. He can go out and get buckets, 20 points. Really well.
It was weird. I was watching Florida about a week ago, and – sitting there seeing Jarnell Stokes' brother play for Florida.
Uh-huh.
Isaiah Stokes. It was kind of weird. It was like, oh, okay, that's
how's he looking? He didn't get much play last season.
No, he actually, you can tell he's bulked up a little bit.
Bulked up, slimmed down, cut some of the fat, though, as well.
Yeah. I think he'll be a good presence for them, be able to score points. I don't know, He's not going to touch his brother's athletic ability, I don't think, but he's a good basketball player. So I look, he'll be fun to watch.
He could have been a really good football player, too.
Jarnell?
No, his brother Isaiah? His brother was, being recruited in football, then he decided to switch to basketball.
Yeah. Do you blame him? Probably made more money in basketball, right?
Yeah, he probably can. The likelihood chances of him going professional in basketball versus football probably a little bit greater in basketball. Like you say, a little bit easier wear and tear on the body for sure.
Yeah.
That too. We all know that.
Think how cool it would be if you were playing for Penny Hardaway's team. Like a lot of people will use that. Like here's how I think that works out. A lot of these mentors and these so-called handlers of players – I'd be like, man, you got a chance to go play for Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
You got a chance to go to Memphis, play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there's a lot of the older people.
The things he could teach you and
influence. Yeah.
I mean, just the stories and development. I hope that he does well. Hope Tennessee beats him every time they play him. But, yeah,
it's
for
so
the most
far
part.
From Knoxville, it's not even like you're trying to own the state.
Almost. Well, it isn't, but we do. We need to go after a lot of players back in Memphis, like we did in years past. Definitely, depending on where both teams are in the next couple of years, you could have those recruiting battles that really come down to Rick Barnes versus Penny Hardaway. You could have that happen very often.
I don't think anybody will. The Bruce Pearl Calipari back and forth when he was in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And that was,
it won't ever get ugly like that. No. Yeah. Because these two are like, these aren't the type of guys that are going to let it, they're going to get scrummy like that and like kind of like.
Penny will just beat you.
Yeah, and I think that Rick Barnes is
just going old school.
Yeah, he's going to do it the right way and always just going to, you know, going to try to outbeat, you know, outcoach you.
I agree. Pockets aren't empty. It's my big thing. Pockets aren't empty when it comes to what's going on nowadays when it comes to these five-star players all around the country. It's an intriguing situation, and I will be interested to see how the FBI handles this new case that's coming up involving these shoe brands and apparel companies. And pockets aren't empty, guys. Always remember that. Coming up next, my man from the Big Six on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, Jason Martin, joins the show. You also know him from Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis. He joins us next. It's Optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Crazy Tunes coming in on the dial. We're spinning them here with Casey Kasem, the top 40.
Secret
agent, man. Is that how you roll it?
That's how you do it sometimes, Trey.
Who sings the song?
Not really sure. I just remember it from my childhood days of watching Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I feel like that was what it was in. I think so.
Was that it?
I think so. Maybe it was Austin Powers. It's one of the two.
Okay.
I kind of got the Austin Powers vibe first. I think it's Ace Ventura.
I don't know.
I feel like it's Ace Ventura.
We'll figure it out. My man from the Big Six, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, does fantastic job with Tennessee and continues on and on and on. He'll be coming on with us here in just a minute. Jay Mart, excited to have him on. Really good guy. Look, has his own show in Nashville, really covers the Titans well and the Volunteers well. I enjoy always talking with him. He'll be joining us here in just a minute. Lots to discuss too. If you're a Titans fan as well, it's something you probably, you know, you'd be interested in. Let's do it now. Let's go to line number four. I'll just say four. Jason Martin from the Big Six joins us. Jason, good afternoon to you, brother.
Hey, Trey. How are you, man? Always good to be with you.
And I'm good. Are y'all handling the apocalyptic snow in Nashville right now?
It's definitely apocalyptic. Well, I don't know that it's snow. It's just a lot of very cold rain. I think that's 10 times worse. There's nothing pretty to look at. There's nothing about it. It's just, I don't think it's ice. It's just really freaking cold, and you just kind of want to be inside.
At least you won't have to be staying the night at the radio station like you had to do a couple years ago, or stayed across the street. You know, I always remember that during the big storm a couple years ago. Y'all had to stay over there, you and Brad and Brandon and all them. So that's I don't think you'll be doing that this time around.
No. I've had a busy week, though, with Clay Travis out in L.A. I've been hosting his show in the mornings and doing mine in the evenings and
All sorts
of other stuff. I was in Knoxville on Saturday. I had to get that Florida game taste out of my mouth.
There you go.
The experience. So I was there, and obviously things went a little better. And then Sunday I was at Titans Patriots, and that was historically something crazy. So it's been a wild last week or so for me.
Let's start your trip. Let's start it in Knoxville. You know, what were your impressions Saturday of this Tennessee squad that comes out and plays a game like they played against Auburn, where they're testing Kentucky down the field and, you know, they're able to get open in space with the running game outside the pocket? I mean, what was your overall impression with how the Volunteers pulled off the so-called upset against Kentucky?
Well, I don't know how much of an upset it was,
right?
Because I think that you could have first guessed this. This felt to me like Georgia went up to Lexington and beat the brakes off those boys a week ago.
Yeah.
And there's a hangover effect that comes with, all right, we're still Kentucky. all of a sudden you remember, okay, stay in your lane. We've had a good year, but we're not Georgia. We're not Alabama. We're not LSU. We're still Kentucky to some extent. So you get beaten like that, and then you have to go to Knoxville and play a Tennessee team that was the exact opposite, in that they beat Charlotte, and I put beat in air quotes, because it was such an unimpressive victory where they were unable to run the ball, where they just couldn't do much of anything. They win that thing 14-3. Nobody's feeling particularly good about it. They had yet to play a game of any note, of any real quality at home. All their good football was played on the road. Even in losses, it was played better on the road. And so eventually something was going to have to happen. Eventually the stars were going to have to align. Eventually they were going to play well at home. This was the perfect storm. This was a team that could not pass the football in Kentucky. It was Benny Snell, but you knew it was going to be Benny Snell, and Benny Snell just could not really find anything, and they sent the house at this poor quarterback. I saw the tweets that, you know, we're still seeing guys sacking him right now, like days after the game. It was such a brutal... I felt bad for Terry Wilson. I truly did. But we could have seen this coming. Daniel Batuli has been fantastic all year long. We are seeing other guys playing around him that continue to step up. Nigel Warrior's starting to make plays. You're seeing a lot of stuff in the secondary that you like. The offensive line, I think, is the one thing. We knew Kentucky had a good defense, but Tennessee could run the ball. Ty Chandler looked good outside of that fumble, and Tim Jordan looked good as well. Madre London, I don't need to see carry the football again. I don't know exactly why he was in there for that carry.
Right.
But this was a situation that once Tennessee got a couple of touchdowns, it felt like Kentucky did not have the offense to come back. So all credit to Tennessee for stepping up and playing well in front of their home crowd and beating a ranked team. But I do think that Kentucky was overrated and overranked by the time Tennessee saw them 6 days ago or 5 days ago.
That's a really good point to make when it comes to how Kentucky was either prepared or unprepared, and not taking anything away from Tennessee, because I think they pretty much dominated that game, especially with the defensive line and the way they've gotten better. What would be your – look, two games left in the season for the Vols. Hopefully they have another one if they can win one of these right. last two and get to a bowl game. But what's your overall perception on how Jeremy Pruitt's been able to get his team to buy in? And now they sit, like I said, two games left. Missouri, that's winnable. Vanderbilt's winnable. There's a chance on the table to go 7-5 on the season and possibly make like a Florida bowl game. Like, did you see this coming, you know, 4 weeks into the year? How's the transition been, you think?
Lord, no. I didn't think they were going to be. I thought they might win three games.
That's
based
true.
On what we saw early. They didn't look good against UTEP. They didn't look good against ETSU. We obviously saw where West Virginia was in that first game. I agree with Laura Rutledge and what she tweeted out after that Kentucky game, which is Jeremy Pruitt might be the SEC Coach of the Year. Now, it depends on what happens over the next couple of games, but you and I have spoken a few times on my show, and of course I've been on yours a couple of times, and I think we were sort of in agreement that once you got past Alabama, the way that this team was trending, it looked to me like every single game that was left was winnable. Now, South Carolina, unfortunately, you let that slip through your fingers. You should have beaten them, but you could not stop the 12th-ranked running offense in the SEC. For whatever reason, it just didn't work out. But you could beat South Carolina. You could beat Kentucky. You were going to beat Charlotte. You could absolutely beat Missouri. They're sort of a Jekyll and Hyde team. They're balanced when it comes to run and pass. I don't know how much I love the matchup, but I like the way this team's playing. And Missouri's no juggernaut. And it's going to be in Neyland. It's going to be a little bit louder. The crowd's going to be a little bit more behind things now that they've seen a victory there that matters in the Kentucky game. I think they can beat Missouri. I certainly think they can beat Vanderbilt. No question about that. So I think at worst you're going to get one of these last two. I think you could get both of them. And if you do, considering all of the losses off the offensive line that was already thin, losing Kennedy off the start of the season, losing Trey Smith again, dealing with all sorts of other things, Mike Abernathy being out, other guys struggling, I think Jeremy Pruitt has done a really nice job. And I think his temperament has been what it needs to be. I think that it's not easy to play for him, but I kind of think that there is a growing sense, at least among some of these younger players, that they like playing for him, that they see something in him. And I think that there's a really bright future for Jeremy Pruitt, especially if he's able to recruit the way that we expect that he's going to be able to. But if they finish 7-5, Trey, and end up in a Florida bowl game, I mean, that's absolutely miraculous considering the talent deficiencies that we assumed they had coming into the season.
Jason, outside of Tennessee, yeah, Jeremy Pruitt's doing really well. Another national story that I want to get your take on, because I know that I've heard you before. I mean, you're really opinionated about a lot of different things. What do you make of this whole Tom Herman and Zach Smith and Brett McMurphy? Breaking that down, I mean, do you believe it's just is it starting to look more of, because we were talking about it obviously the last couple of days, a personal vendetta, McMurphy at Ohio State and Urban Meyer now, and just Tom Herman feeding him all this. What's your take, and how do you feel about everything?
I don't feel good about this story at all.
Yes, I know.
Because we're so far away from it. All of us are at such a distance from what we're hearing, and there is absolutely skin in the game on all sides for the people involved. Brett McMurphy has been a reputable reporter for a very, very long time.
Agreed.
I will say that boy has he gone out of his way to go after Urban Meyer. Boy has he gone out of his way to go after Ohio State. And maybe legitimately so. And look, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy based on everything that I've seen from Urban Meyer pretty much since he left Utah and got to Florida. Zach Smith is a cretin. That's the best way I know to describe it. I've never met the man, but I've seen enough. And I've seen his Twitter feed, and I've seen that he's willing to take everybody down and destroy people's marriages and all these things. I don't know Tom Herman. We interviewed him one time on Fox Sports Radio, and he came across very well to us. He answered questions. He was candid. I understood why people wanted to play for him. I understood why he was the belle of the ball. He was still in his previous job at that point at Houston, had not moved on to Texas at that stage. But there is absolutely a whole lot of, there's a lot of vitriol, there's a lot of bad feelings, there's a lot of bad mojo, mad, you know, just, there are a lot of people that just have hurt feelings that are going out for blood right now. But if you want me to stake my name behind Zach Smith, I can't do it. There's nothing that comes out of his mouth that I believe. Nothing.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's trying to accomplish at this point. I don't know who to believe, but I still lend more credibility to Brett McMurphy right now.
Yeah, and that's what we kind of talked about. Looking at Brett McMurphy, like you say, he's a reputable reporter for quite some time. It really wouldn't make a lot of sense that he doesn't have to, you know, produce some big story for notoriety. I mean, yeah, he's got to protect his name and brand as well. But, it's a very interesting situation. Now, if you're Texas, are you worried about Tom Herman now with everything that's come out? Do you have to do anything? Because at the same time, he's been kind of mediocre. They've done some good things. They have, and they've been okay this season. But do you make a move if you're Texas? Does this take down Tom Herman, Zach Smith, and everything that he's doing, and obviously the person that he is?
I don't know. When I did my Big Six list of most overrated people in sports before either football season began, John Gruden was number one, and I can go ahead and continually pat myself on the back for that week after week watching the Raiders.
Yeah.
But Jim Harbaugh was in that list. But Tom Herman was also in that list. And it's not because I think Tom Herman's a bad football coach. It's that I think he's an overrated, overhyped coach based on where he was in Houston, and people were willing to throw their coach under the bus to get this guy. And I don't know if he's better than a guy that's going to have Texas in the top 15 or the top 20. I don't know that when you bring in Tom Herman and you're Texas, the Texas fan expectation is you're top 10 or you're in the college football playoff. I don't know that that's going to happen. Now, all of the things that are surrounding the rest of this story, I don't know that infidelity or trips to strip clubs with Zach Smith are going to bring Tom Herman down. I don't really know, but I will say that if it comes down to the fact that the mediocrity or that we're not high enough ranked and we're Texas gets into it, they'll find a way to use this as a character concern to find a way to say it's lack of institutional control and get rid of it. But I'm not willing to say that this is going to cost Tom Herman his job. It's all such a cesspool. It's such a cesspool, and I know that Urban Meyer is very culpable in many respects behind it. I don't know to what degree he is culpable, the villain here is Zach Smith.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's the guy. That's the Clay Morrow that needs to be taken out, Trey.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. That's that's a perfect representation, because I here's the thing, and this is the last question on this subject. It's not even a question. It's more or less, I think you're going to agree with me here, where if I look at that story yesterday, and you can tell McMurphy, and look, we've both been involved in this game for a long time, Jason, and we understand what it takes to, and it's not tooting our own horns, we understand how many editors you have to go through for a big story and how much time and prep. It seems like, you know, he asked for an FOIA request, you know, like a month ago, 2 months ago. He was talking about, you know, beginning of October when he got the call. So he put time. It's not like here's what's crazy, Jason, is that Zach Smith knew this article was coming. But first of all, he went off on Tom Herman Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then he starts. And here's the key thing that came out to me. And I don't know if you agree with this or not. He did a Twitter shout out to Sean King. And if folks don't know who Sean King is, he's absolutely he's bat bleep crazy. And once he did that shout out, and then the article came out about why he was being, you know, that why the article was there about using inappropriate language, it all started to make sense. You know, of why he went started going off on Sunday, because he was trying to distract from what was about to come out. But then something happened, Jason, where you really took a look at that story. And honestly, buddy, I don't know how the hell it got past one editor besides three editors that McMurphy said it did.
Yeah, you know, the thing with McMurphy that's weird to me is I fail to understand what he has to gain by destroying his own journalistic reputation, because he's done so much and he's done such good work for so long, and ESPN shouldn't have let him go, but did, because the way that they've structured their business over the last 5 to 6 years has been so poor, and they paid some people exorbitant amounts of money that they should not have paid. But why would Brett McMurphy risk his reputation for this? What's the purpose? What's the end game? What does he get out of this? He's working for Stadium. They're happy he's there. He doesn't have to go turn some great story right now about Zach Smith and a possible racial slur. And here is Zach Smith, shouting out the one and only Talcum X, old boss and friend Clay Travis calls him, the race baiter that has been fired from numerous outlets because, well, he's basically a liar.
Yeah.
Someone that gins up false controversies and is false himself. So, I, you know, the Zach Smith side of it, I don't believe Zach Smith. But I agree with you that there are certainly some questions that can be asked about the integrity on multiple sides of this.
And that's the crazy part. And, you know, this is not going to stop, Jason. We'll be talking about this probably in 2 weeks if something else comes out. It's not going to stop until either Zach Smith gets his, you know, revenge, or Urban Meyer's out at, you know, at Ohio State. And unfortunately, it turned very personal and got away from journalistic integrity, in which, you know, I know we both strive to do. So, I mean, it's a weird – I felt squirmy when I read that yesterday.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, yeah. It's one of those – you read it and you need a shower because you don't really even know how you feel.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hey, two more questions for you. And one of them has to do with Vanderbilt. Talking with some folks in Nashville and this AD search that they have going on, I was told that the university pretty much had two prominent ADs in the business reach out and say, hey, look, I'd be very interested in this job, and I don't want, you know, I want it. And then university officials / big boosters didn't even pick up the phone and give them a call. And I was also, and I want your opinion on this as well, I was told that Mason, you know, there's so much dysfunction going on over there in the athletic department that Mason's likely going to get another year or two, just because there's so many other people that they're going to have to get rid of inside Vanderbilt's administration that football is actually on the back burner right now. What's your overall take over there? Because I think people need to be interested in what's going on at Vanderbilt, because they're a part of the SEC and they're cashing these big checks that get sent to them every single month.
Yeah, and there are some problems that go with that, because they don't behave like an SEC university
right,
in a lot of respects. look, Vanderbilt exists to try and cure cancer and get people off of death row. They've got a law school and a great med school, and that's what they care about. They don't care as much about athletics. That's why so much of the criticism about getting a new stadium or even basic improvements a lot falls on deaf ears. Now, if you're not willing to answer inquiries or requests from experienced ADs that would like to come in and help try to turn the program around, then it's time to then, look, they're not going to kick you out of the SEC. That's not how it works.
Right.
But you should voluntarily walk away from it.
Agreed.
If you don't have a commitment to football in 2018, you shouldn't be in the SEC. I'm sorry. I know that the basketball program has done fairly well at times. Kevin Stallings was a notorious jerk in Nashville. I know you know that just as well as everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
But they did win a lot of basketball games at times when he was here. And the women's team has been sort of up and down. And Bryce Drew's got an interesting look. Tennessee's a great team this year, but Vanderbilt's not a bad team.
I agree.
So that'll be interesting. And Tim Corbin has been tremendous with the baseball team to the extent that some people say he should be the AD. And he's one of the nicest guys I have ever interacted with on any level of athletics. But in terms of the other side of it, Vanderbilt fans are just going to either have to grin and bear it forever or just accept the fact that James Franklin was an outlier. You kept him as long as you could, and that's it. Derek Mason should not be a head coach in the SEC.
Agreed.
Really nice guy. He should be a defensive coordinator in a major school that's helping to win national championships. There are guys that just are not qualified for the jobs that they have. I think that Derek Mason is not ever going to be more than about a 6-win coach. And that's not terrible at Vanderbilt, but you should strive for more, should you not?
I agree, and I'll give you one little hint about Derek Mason. I was told by three people over the last couple of days that when Vanderbilt was trying to come down there and score towards the end of the game against Missouri, and seconds were running off the clock, that Mason had to be told from his players to call a timeout when they were running too much clock because he didn't realize the clock situation and how much was actually running off, and that the players had to come up, get into Mason's face, and tell him to call a timeout and warn him about what's going on. That's just not situational awareness from a football head coach. And I agree, Jason. Maybe he can go to some Group of Five team, a MAC school, and be a coach if he wants to, but he should be making $1.8 million a year being a defensive coordinator at a big-time program.
Absolutely. I think he'd be happier there, and he'd be more specialized there. Now, I won't get on him too much about not knowing situations, because there are a whole lot of coaches.
Agreed.
Seem to understand situations. That's why, you know, I've lobbied a long time, as have many others, that every coach should have a common-sense situational football coach keeps him and saves him from himself, because the coach is just not paying attention to all the details, and somebody just needs to get in his ear from up in the booth and say, hey, no. You're going to need to call a timeout here because this, and this. Oh, okay, I didn't even see that. All right, timeout. I feel like we'd save ourselves a lot of headaches if they would just employ one guy that's just in charge of common sense and logic.
That's fantastic. Last question, man. How big of a win was that for the Tennessee Titans on Sunday at home against the Patriots, who travel well, and they had a bunch of fans? I'm tired of seeing local radio personalities in Nashville bitch and moan about how many Patriots fans were in the stadium. I thought it was a huge win for the Titans. I'd love your opinion on it.
Well, there were a lot of Patriots fans. Yeah, there's no question about that. The Tennessee Titans had a good week. I thought that Dallas was their season. If they lost to Dallas, they fall to 3-5. I think then the Patriots beat them. They're 3-6, and the season is virtually over. At that point, they picked themselves up off the mat after a terrible first quarter against Dallas. Played three great quarters on the road and won that game. That gave them a little bit of confidence. They're back to 500. It's 4-4. There's no Gronkowski. The Patriots have been a bad road team. They were only 500 on the road and barely won the two road games that they did win. One of those was against the Buffalo Bills, of all people.
That's true.
So you have an opportunity there. Marcus Mariota's getting a little bit healthier. This offense is becoming a bit more experienced under Matt LaFleur. There's a lot of new pieces on this football team. So the storm was right. This is something that could happen. But here's the stat that I've laid out all week that just leaves people's jaws on the floor every time I mention it, and that is I want to take you back to late November of the year 2000,
Ooh.
A game between the New England Patriots and the Detroit Lions. The Patriots lost that game 34-9. In that game, a young player out of the University of Michigan named Tom Brady entered for the very first time in his NFL career in the fourth quarter. That team lost, again, 34-9. Sunday, what the Titans did, here's how historic it was. Not since that day has a New England Patriots team been beaten by 24 or more points after week four in any season.
Wow.
It was the first day of Tom Brady's career almost 18 years ago that any team could claim a victory the likes of what we just saw from the Titans on Sunday. That's how big that win was.
Dang, that crazy stats Jason Martin's throwing out. That's fantastic, and hopefully they can keep it rolling. The Predators are rolling right now in Nashville. It seems to be happy city, happy life, and the SEC basketball tournament is going to be there for 20 more years. I mean, things are popping off now, buddy, and man, I love it when you come on, man, and we appreciate it so much. Please tell everybody where they can follow you and listen to your fantastic show nightly.
Yeah, it's always fun to be on here, Trey. I love it. I am the host of the Big Six on 104.5 The Zone. Sometimes Tennessee basketball is preempting us, but yeah. I'll let Admiral and the guys handle that. They can do that from time to time. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. You can also subscribe to the podcast, The Big Six with Jason Martin. You can get the full archive there. I host the Tennessee Tailgate Show with former Vols wide receiver Joey Kent. That's right before Vol Network coverage every weekend. I host Monday Night Titans on Mondays live downtown here in Nashville at Martin Barbecue alongside Mark Mariani, former Titans Pro Bowler, and Jim Wyatt of TitansOnline.com. And I'm the editor-in-chief of the Big Six blog at 1045thezone.com/Big Six blog, covering Titans, Vols, all sports, and tomorrow a review of The Crimes of Grindelwald, which I'll be screening tonight. And this week, if you listen to Fox Sports Radio, I'm hosting Outkick, the coverage from 5 to 8 a.m. Central Time, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And at some point, I attempt to sleep, but usually fail in that endeavor.
Man, you better get some sleep. You make sure to give my boy B-Hag a big old hug for me. I know it's a long week for him, so make sure to give him a big old hug for me. And I've been keeping up with him. And I appreciate you so much, Jason, and thank you for joining us, brother.
Man, anytime you want, bud. It's always fun.
Thanks, Jason. Jason Martin, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Appreciate him coming on. Always a fantastic guest. Man, he's good. Love having him on. Really good conversation. I like how you asked about Zach Smith because he was going to be very opinionated.
Had to.
I know.
I've listened to Jason before.
Crazy stuff. We'll talk about that more on the other side. We're coming back. Let's talk about why the hell they're not playing a game in Mexico City on Monday night.
Called it.
I know. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along here on the 2 o'clock hour. The drive coming up next. Don't forget tomorrow, quarter 16, it's a turkey drop chance.
Turkey drop. 7th annual turkey drop,
tomorrow.
Dude. 7th annual. Get there or be square. I mean, seriously, like, come on, people. You need a turkey for Thanksgiving. Don't be the last minute person that has to go try to run out and get a turkey. Get some small puny turkey.
That's the worst feeling.
Oguel, Rotten Burrill, and the drive. Like I said, I was a part of that for the last couple of years. They do it right, and there'll be plenty of turkeys. And they're big turkeys, too. And, I mean, like, come on. It's a free turkey as long as you get there, first come, first serve. And you don't have to pay for a turkey.
Oh, man.
Give back to the community. You're getting back. It's awesome. Take that extra money you'd put on that turkey and maybe, like, you put it towards Christmas gifts, Black Friday shopping the next day, or stuffing, more pie.
I'm telling you, I can't believe it snuck up. So I got
– Yeah, man.
Bro,
like,
I got a bunch of family coming in town next
dude,
week.
Dude, it snuck
Denver.
Up so fast. Thanksgiving Mobile. Is literally next week. And Christmas right after that. So what the hell was 2018?
We do like Thanksgiving up here at the Ware's Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Ware's Valley. And so got family coming in from Denver.
Uh-huh.
Folks are coming up from Mobile. The aunt and uncle coming up from Mobile. My brother's flying in from Washington. It's just going to be a hot. It's, you know what? So I'm glad I got my apartment in place in Knoxville.
So you can leave.
Right. I can leave. I got to get back. I got to go. I got things to do. Like the, we're already talking about going to like Pigeon Forge Country tonight. It's like, oh my God, please don't. For the love of God.
You guys are going to go to
we are going to do Dollywood.
Dixie Stampede?
Absolutely not.
It's do
not,
a little Dixie no, Stampede. It's no fun.
Called Dixie Stampede.
What's it
anymore.
Called now?
I don't know. It's called Dolly Parton's.
Oh, that's right. They changed it.
Confederate flag crap.
They did change it. It's no longer Dixie Stampede.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of other stuff.
Oh, there's so much. So we're going to Dollywood.
Dollywood to see all the lights.
I'm scared as hell of the roller coasters, but I did it last year. I'm scared as hell. Like, I got in line. Here's the worst feeling in the world, Chance, is when you're in line to ride a roller coaster with your family and stuff, and they get on the ride before you, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute. I don't have anybody I know close to me that's going to be able to ride with me because they all just got on at the end, and there wasn't enough seats.
Oh, you don't like to ride by yourself?
No. So when it came back around, that Soaring Eagle, that stupid freaking ride at Dollywood that's so high up in the air and your feet are dangling.
Trey got roller coaster.
Hell yeah, I did. I trip out on roller coasters. So my cousin got off the ride right when I was getting on, and I yelled at him. That's Steven. Steven. He got over there. I said, you got to ride with me.
Steven.
He's like, I just got off. I said, sit your ass down. So he rode it with me. I was scared.
What'd you tell him?
I said, sit your ass down. Sit down.
Steven.
Hanging on to his arm. Like, oh, my God, I hate you.
I like roller coasters a lot. One of my favorite things
trip me out, man.
Is to watch the reaction videos, roller coasters, and also just the pictures, the shots of people's faces. Really cool for me. I really take a lot of pride in that.
We messed up because we went to Dollywood in November when it's 40 degrees out riding roller coasters. Ended up sick as a dog, you know, 2 days later. It is what it is. All fun and games. I'm sure we'll catch up a bunch of Pigeon Forge retreats.
Oh, yeah.
Next week. Look forward to it. We'll come back, wrap up the show. It's Optional Fox Sports in Knoxville.
Looking.
Walking down the street.
There you go.
Talking to
I think
me.
Trey Wallace has pipes. I think he has pipes. I think he sings in his off time.
People always say I don't know.
I think you got the pipes you've been holding out on us.
It's optional on Fox Sports Knoxville today.
Pretty good.
Rolling along here.
Fun show, man.
Yeah, I had fun today,
fun
man.
Show. I will be the first to say.
Yeah.
And I'll admit this.
Okay.
Kind of got a new opinion of Jason Martin.
Okay.
Kind of got a new opinion. Those things happens when you talk to somebody. And after you listen to him on the show, not going to lie, I was kind of a little eerie about that interview. But that was really good.
Because he's been hooked to Clay.
That was really good. Yeah. Separate from Clay, he's really good.
He's a fantastic
That was
journalist.
Really good. I liked everything that he had to say.
Fantastic
And
journalist.
Dude, how much is he working?
He does a lot.
For no, I mean, I just heard
he
him like,
a lot
wow.
for his own, man. He does.
He is working hard. You got to do that sometimes, though.
I've known Jason for 6 years now. And
you got to appreciate
that. He puts in a lot of work. We worked at Cumulus together.
Uh-huh.
Really good guy. And tip of the cap. He puts
a lot
in
more
lot
respect
work.
For him, too. After this. He's a hard worker, dude. Anybody can grind that hard.
If you had to work with Clay Travis 4 hours a day, you deserve some kind of respect.
You got to grind, man. You got to grind.
I know. Tomorrow I will be on assignment. Chance will be in here tomorrow.
I'll be here.
Running the show.
I'll be here.
Things out.
I'll be here.
Should be a he'll be talking Missouri coming up this weekend.
Talk a little Missouri
NFL.
Yeah, we'll talk a little NBA action from tonight. NFL game preview. You know, we got a Thursday night game tomorrow.
That's true.
Really not sure who that's gonna be, but yeah, it's gonna be a fun show.
No,
we'll be waiting on you on Friday when you get back.
I look forward to it. Got a couple things to do tomorrow on Simon and get some stuff out there for everybody to enjoy. So I'll be back Friday. Look forward to it. And we'll get you ready for the weekend. College football this weekend, Tennessee versus Missouri. They can clinch their bowl game this Saturday. I'm excited to talk with you about it. I'm Trey Wallace for Chance Collins. Thank you so much for listening. You guys be good. Be blessed. Thanks for joining. See you Friday. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Thank you.